This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
To Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti. Once again, going solo this week. I promise Remy will be back. We'll do this show together at some point, but it's been very difficult to get us together in the same room at the same time to be able to record, but I'm really excited to be with you this week, and thank you for everyone listening across all of our radio affiliates, and if you're listening to the podcast, we appreciate that too as well. Our guest this week, a very special guest, Hall of Fame head coach Tony Dungy. And we're going to talk about something extremely exciting. That is Easter Sunday services at Raymond James Stadium, home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tony and through Grace Family Church, which has 9 campuses in this surrounding area in Tampa Bay, they're going to put together this incredible Easter Sunday service. And here's the cool thing. It's free. Everything is free. Parking is free. They're going to start with a tailgate at 7:30 a.m. 9:30, the doors open and the service starts at 10:30. So it's at Raymond James Stadium. What we really hope to see, and as Tony talks about, and you'll hear from him coming up, is invite some friends, invite some folks out there who need to hear the gospel. And Pastor's going to speak, but also Tony's going to get a opportunity to share a little bit. And you'll hear his story and some of his, a little bit about how his career journey and his life journey has gotten him to this point. So stay tuned for that. Also, while I'm on the topic of talking about events, so that's Easter Sunday service at Raymond James Stadium. But here's something else that I am so fired up about, and it is April 18th to 20th. It is the U.S. Christian Chamber Business Expo and Global Conference 2024, and I'm going to be a part of it. I'm delighted. I'm so excited, fired up to be giving to be one of the keynote speakers. So grateful to Crystal Parker for the opportunity. She's been a guest on the show. She's president of the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce. They do a fantastic job. So many awesome people involved that I've had the opportunity to get to know a little bit. Eric Floyd, Landon Connor, Robbie Harper, all of those folks, just terrific people. And they're bringing in experts from around the world to help the Christian business community kind of root out our companies in Christ and influence the way that the world conducts business. But this conference, this business expo, it's not just for business owners. Everyone can benefit. So check it out at uschristianchamber.com. You can get more details, find out how you can get tickets. And listen, it's in Orlando. Beautiful sunshine, beautiful weather, close to Disney World. Make it a family vacation. Make it a family trip. You'll love it. The resort's awesome. Everything. It's going to be a fantastic time. Again, the U.S. Christian Chamber Business Expo and Global Conference, April 18th to the 20th in Orlando. And hey, I'm going to be speaking, but there's going to be so many other people that are headlining. It's just going to be an incredible, incredible time. So make sure you check that out. If you have any questions, reach out to me. Absolutely. At any time, feel free. You can reach out to me and we can discuss. Now, this week, I want to talk a little bit about what Tony mentions and what he's going to bring up in our conversation, and that's 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Run to win the race, where Paul's talking in writing to the Corinthians, and he says, I'm going to read to you from the NLT Bible, and it says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." It's a powerful verse here by Paul, And I want to just break it down a little bit because he's talking here about winning a race, which requires to win a race in sport, you got to have discipline. You certainly have to have a purpose for wanting to do it, but you have to have discipline. And Paul's using this illustration here to kind of talk about that the Christian life, that requires discipline, hard work, self-denial, unselfishness, and the preparation is excruciating at times, grueling preparation. So as Christians, we're kind of running toward, we're running a race, but we're running toward our heavenly reward. And I can't wait for you to hear how Tony talks about the impact of this verse on his life. But the disciplines of prayer and studying the Bible and really worship gives us what we need, the training, the skill. It gives us the need, what we need to kind of run with that strength, to kind of have that stamina through life, which becomes and can be so difficult and so tiring and so grueling. So Paul is kind of imploring us here not to just sit on the sideline and watch and be an observer, but to participate and to kind of run. Don't run a few laps and get, how many of us wake up and say, yeah, today I'm going to go running, right? Or whatever cardio that you might want to do, whether it's a treadmill, it's a certain kind of anything at the gym. And I hate cardio, and I've kind of, I gravitate towards the trainers who talk about, and I've got a lot of background in this, who talk about, well, it's not about being on a treadmill for an hour or 2 hours, and it's about being up and down, getting your heartbeat going, and all that stuff. I say all that to escape from having to actually run. And I got terrible knees. I tore my ACL playing football. I've had all this, so I can't really run on concrete. It hurts. But what Paul's saying here is don't run a couple laps and then give up. We got to train diligently in our spiritual journey, because our progress, our spiritual growth, it kind of depends on it. So he's talking about here in all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize. I love the comparison. I'm a sports guy, so anytime there's a way to weave in sports, and obviously that's what Faith on the Field's all about, but to weave in sports and faith, I'm all for it. So as Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27 and verse 25, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. He's talking about self-discipline, and people talk about self-fulfillment all the time. There's these books about being self, and nowadays, isn't everything about me time and taking care of me and putting myself first and all, and I would never tell somebody not to work on yourself and all of that, but it starts with self-discipline. Before we talk about growth and maturity and satisfaction and happiness and fulfillment, it should start with discipline, self-discipline, because self-discipline's hard. It's difficult. It's one of those moments where you look in a mirror and you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be honest with yourself about the strengths that you have, the weaknesses that you have. And I hate to do this. I think we all hate to do this. Nobody wants to be that honest with themselves, to look in the mirror and say, hey, yeah, I'm not good at this area of my life, right? I need growth here. I know there's so much that I need to personally work on. But that's where self-discipline, it requires that honest look at our strengths and then our weaknesses, but really emphasize those weaknesses. How can I get better here? How can I improve in this area? And it means building that will to be able to say no when something inside of us that's so powerful is telling us to say yes. And that's self-discipline right there. For example, there are situations that people and difficult moments that we may come to that can lead us away from Christ, that can take us away from the Lord. We have to have that self-discipline to say no, whether it's friends, whether it's family, whether it's work, whether it's culture, whether it's societal pressure, whatever it may be, we need to have that strength to say no, that self-discipline to say no. And it can apply in so many different ways. And it's easier to be lazy and just go along with it. But self-discipline it requires so much work. But it's a steady course in learning all of these attitudes that they don't come easy. They don't come naturally. But they lead us to fulfill God's purpose. So we have to figure out, we have to be honest about our weak points. We know what our strengths are. We all like to emphasize and highlight our strengths. But what are our weak points? What do we need to get better at so we can run that race to win that race? It's not what the athletes are striving for, that prize, that medal, that trophy, whether it's the Vince Lombardi, the Stanley Cup, whatever they give out, and Larry O'Brien, is it in the NBA, the World Series, whatever prize it is that the athletes are racing to win, our reward is eternal. Our reward is heavenly. And Paul is asking us here to run that race, but to first look within ourselves to figure out where we need to be better. And I want to talk a little bit about his final verse in this little segment, 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27. I discipline my body like an athlete training to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Well, he's not talking about being disqualified from a race. Paul's not running a marathon. He's talking about here so that he could, and it's not about losing salvation, but it's rather about losing his privilege of telling others about Jesus Christ. It's easier for us to tell people, how easy is it, right, to tell someone what they should do, how they should live, how you should eat this way, and you should train this way, and you should do that, but then we're not following that ourselves oftentimes. It's easy to do that, but we got to be careful to take our own advice. I say this all the time. I do this show preaching to myself, talking to myself, trying to help myself throughout it, and Paul's saying here, we must be careful to practice what we preach so as to not lose that privilege. And it really is a privilege of telling other people about Christ. So you're going to hear from Tony Dungy, who's just a pleasure to listen to. And we're going to talk a little bit about Easter Sunday service at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay and his journey. And that's coming up. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to ijm.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
Join us at SWC 2024 Expo and Global Conference, April 18th and 19th in Orlando, Florida. I'm Crystal Parker, president of the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, inviting you to this powerful event where faith meets business innovation, sponsored by Red Balloon. It's not just a conference, it's a transformative experience for you and a vacation for your family. Secure your spot at uschristianchamber.com. See you in Orlando to shape the future of Christian business.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh. And Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
To Faith on the Field Show, I'm Rob Motti. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com and find every episode. Since we launched in 2017, we've had an awesome lineup of guests. You can listen anytime at your convenience on any of the podcast platforms. Be sure also to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend or two or as many as you'd like about the show. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show and help our ministry grow, we're always looking for new partners. Please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. We have so many different ways that we can work together to fill your needs. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state, so we're going to continue to strive to do that and until we get there, and then we'll find new goals and bigger and better. But if you don't have a business to advertise but want to help the ministry, we also have a donate button on our page on faithonthefieldshow.com. Our guest this week, Tony Dungy, is a Hall of Fame head coach who led the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Indianapolis Colts to 139 wins. He won a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning and the Colts. He also won a Super Bowl as a player. He was a defensive back for the Steelers. He was a quarterback. Before that, he was converted to defensive back. Tony once had 6 interceptions in a season. He's the last player, and he did this in 77, 78, I'm not sure which year, but he's the last player to throw a pass and intercept a pass in this same NFL game. We all know Tony is a strong man of Christ. He's beloved by his former players and teammates. Here's my conversation with Tony Dungy. Tony, welcome to the show. I'm really excited to talk to you about this amazing, incredible event on Easter Sunday, right here in Tampa, Raymond James Stadium. You have, you guys are Grace Family Church. You're going to have Mass. You're going to have a service. You're going to have an Easter service right there on that field. And I saw there's tailgating. I saw all of this stuff. So tell me about the idea behind it and how this came to be.
It really is incredible. Grace Family Church has 8 campuses. Many of the campuses have 2 or 3 services. So the thought was, how do we get everybody together and do one service? And then can we make this a citywide event? Can we get people to invite their friends, invite people that need to hear the gospel? So, hey, let's try to get Raymond James Stadium. Do you think we could do it? And it came to pass. So we're going to have this service at the stadium. It's a free event. Parking is free. There's no admission. Come just tailgate 7:30 in the morning. Gates open at 9, celebrate, and it's going to be awesome. And I have to tell you, Rob, it really takes me back. I was the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when the stadium was built. And the very first event in the stadium was not a game, but it was a Billy Graham crusade. Wow. And I was there, and I was able to introduce Dr. Graham, and thousands of people got to hear the gospel that day, and it was fantastic. So this just brings back those good memories, and I think we're going to have the same thing where we have a big crowd and we have a lot of people who are going to get to hear about Jesus.
Is there going to be opportunity for you to speak, or is it going to be the pastor? How do you know what the plans are for that day?
They've got a praise and worship, going to be a lot of music and celebration that way. Pastor Altman is going to give a message, but I have a little 5-minute presentation, and I'm just going to talk about what it was like in my life growing up in a Christian environment, kind of talking about the Lord, but not really committing my life to Jesus until I was 21 years old. I went to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I saw 15, 20 guys who were really, really strong Christians who got me going, got me coming to Bible studies, reading the Bible daily, coming to chapel services, and really committed my life to the Lord. So that's going to be my part, to tell people, don't just dabble in God, but be on the team. Don't just have a uniform.
I tell people I grew up, and you probably could tell from I still my Catholic background. I refer to it as Mass, and I still can't get that. For 36 years, I still and even though now I'm ordained myself, I still sometimes refer to it like that. But I tell people I grew up, Tony, as a fan of Jesus, but then when I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, I became a follower. And the difference between being a fan is life-changing. On the outskirts, going to church once a week, but not really being all in, but then becoming a follower, diving into the word, wanting to emulate him, wanting to live like him, wanting to read more about his life and how he lived and how he loved. When was that moment for you? When did it hit home?
It really hit home for me when I was 21 years old, and I'm in this meeting, and a couple of the players say, "Hey, young man, we've got a Bible study after our meetings are over in training camp. You need to be there." And my roommate was a guy by the name of Donnie Shell. And Donnie would ask me every morning, he would get up and he said, What have you read? Meaning, what have I read in the Bible? And I said, "Well, I haven't read anything yet. I just got up." And so he'd tell me what he read and what it meant to him. And then that night he would say, What have you read?" And I'm like, "I haven't read anything, man. I'm in training camp. I'm trying to make the team. I'm trying to read the playbook." And he would tell me what he read and what it meant. Well, after about a week of this, I said, "I better read something. So I'm going to have something to talk about, something to communicate." But when it clicked for me, we had a Bible study after practice, and the chaplain he opened up 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And in verse 24, Paul says, "Don't you know that in a race, everybody runs, but there's only one first prize, so run to win." And that opened my eyes, because I'd been around this Christianity for a while, but all I heard was God doesn't care how you do. You just compete, do things the right way. Well, here he was saying, no, run to win, be excellent. That's what I expect. But then the next verse was, "Hey, when you do it as an athlete, you do it for a prize that's going to fade away. We go after that prize that won't fade away. We go after eternal life." And the chaplain just said, "Hey, run to win, but make sure you're running the right race." And that hit me so hard, because my whole life up to then, I was running after that Super Bowl. I was running after making the team. I was running after athletic things. But he said, that's going to fade away. You better make sure you're running the right race and winning that one. And that's when it hit me, when I was 21 years old.
What advice would you give people nowadays, Tony, in a world where it seems more difficult as far as the pressures to fit into culture and to fit into society? I feel it. I feel discouraged at times. And I know that sometimes that's the enemy trying to take me off my course, trying to derail me from where I'm supposed to be. How would you kind of let people know that it, as difficult as it may be with all of these outside pressures, at some point, we're going to have to answer to the Lord?
Absolutely, Rob. I actually wrote a book after our Super Bowl called Uncommon. Mm. And that's what it was all about. My dad preached that to me the time I was little, and I can still remember it. You don't have to follow the crowd. Don't do what everybody else does. Make up your own mind. But that's hard as a young person. We all want to fit in. We want to be part of the in crowd. Well, I got to Pittsburgh, and Coach Knoll was the same way with the Steelers. "Hey, we are not going to be like everybody else. We are going to be different. We're going to be focused and teamwork and togetherness and unity, and that's how we're going to win." Well, it's the same thing in that spiritual life. We can be like everybody else, and we can just fit in. But God says, that's not what's going to please me. What's going to please me is if you put your whole focus on following me and doing what I say, you're going to be in great shape. And yes, you're going to lose some friends. You're not going to be as popular, but in the long run, it doesn't matter. And I found out over the years that that is so important, that, yeah, if we try to please the Lord, there are going to be people that say, "Oh, you're weird. You're that's dumb. You know, we're not going to do that." But I choose to think it's just uncommon. It's not weird. It's special.
Well, that's awesome, Tony. You've written several books with your wife as well, too, right?
Yes.
And some children's books along the way. So while we have that opportunity, if you want to talk about how folks can get their hands on those.
Yeah, we actually kind of kept that uncommon theme. And we went through uncommon marriage and uncommon influence and what that means. What does it look like to be married and be together and to be serving the Lord as a couple? And what is that going to mean for your children? And then when I was coaching, my wife and the other ladies in the women's group, they used to read to elementary school students. And my wife said, you know, there's not a lot of good stuff to read. We don't want to just read Dr. Seuss and have some fun stuff. We want to read some stuff where these kids can get a message. And so we said, if there's not good stuff out there, let's write some good stuff. Let's talk about what it means and what it looks like to be a good friend, what it looks like to be a good neighbor, what it looks like to honor your parents and listen to your parents. So we've written 12 children's books, and people can get them on Amazon, or they can get them through Harvest House, and they're pretty awesome, especially if you have young kids.
Yeah, for sure, and I do, and they're always asking me for some good books to read and where that take me to the library, and I'm going through the books, and there's a lot of stuff that I don't want 10-year-old girls reading.
Absolutely,
I find in the library, so I appreciate books like that, Tony. I appreciate your time. I love the man you are and what you're doing. Really excited about Easter service at Raymond James Stadium. I've been there over the past three seasons for maybe 20, 30 Buccaneers games, and this is going to be an incredible once-in-a-lifetime type event. So looking forward to it, and hopefully we can get 60,000 people rocking it to Jesus in there.
Yeah, amen. That would be so neat. So if you want to come and just enjoy a service with just some great Christian fellowship, come on out. If you know somebody that you feel like needs to hear the gospel and hear it in a way that is going to be engaging, bring them out too. You know, that's what this is all about. It's not just Christians getting together to celebrate, but hey, we want people to understand who we follow, why we follow Jesus. And so, yeah, hopefully we have a huge crowd.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you, Tony.
All righty. Thank you, Rob. Good to be with you.
That's it for this week. Thank you to Tony Dungy. Thank you to Doug, Pastor Scott, and everyone on our team. And thank you for listening to Faith on the Field Show. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to ijm.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
Join us at SWC 2024 Expo and Global Conference, April 18th and 19th in Orlando, Florida. I'm Crystal Parker, president of the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, inviting you to this powerful event where faith meets business innovation, sponsored by Red Balloon. It's not just a conference, it's a transformative experience for you and a vacation for your family. Secure your spot at uschristianchamber.com. See you in Orlando to shape the future of Christian business.